Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, to get up to a $100 deposit bonus. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, October 27th. Only four games on tap, so this might be a pretty quick show. I'm your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at Daniel A. Green. Wow, what's my Twitter? At Daniel A. Green 1. It's been so long. You know what, Tyler? I'm joined by Tyler Watts. Watsy 4444444.
Just four fours.
Four fours. But you know what I realized, Tyler?
What's that?
I think I have not been saying my own Twitter handle on the show, and I have not been like announcing myself the last like few shows.
I noticed that yesterday, but I didn't say anything. I figured maybe you didn't want people to follow you.
No, so my Twitter is X, and now I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't even know my own Twitter. It's been so long. So, yes, it's at Daniel A. Green 1, green like the color. There you go. Welcome to the show. Mark is off with his 17 kids for the night. Again, Mark will always be on the show Sundays and maybe some during the week, but he's still trying to figure that out. And the Sunday show is going to be, you know, more season-long oriented. And Kyle is off. I'm not sure where Kyle is tonight. Do you know where Kyle is tonight, Tyler?
I'm assuming he had a hot date, but I didn't ask.
Maybe he did. So hopefully he's having more fun than us tonight. But me and Watsy, the wild card, the wild man, we're here to guide you through this little four-game slate. Hopefully you did well tonight. We're taping this. It's about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, where there were 10 games. Right now it's still in the first quarter of the Houston Lakers game. There was some pretty exciting action tonight. I mean, Anthony Davis went berserk, Tyler. So hopefully you guys played him a lot. Anything else that stuck out to you tonight from tonight's action?
Turner had an awesome game. So
he went nuts for Indiana.
You had him and Anthony Davis.
Miles Turner was only 3% owned in most of the big tournaments I played, and he had a monster game. He was fantastic for Indiana.
It was just a really fun game to watch. So hopefully you checked it out.
Yeah. So let's get cracking though on the slate for Thursday. Which is pretty common for Thursday. There's only four games. But actually, there's four games, I think three of which will be close. They all have really solid over-unders. The game with the highest over-under, which surprised me at first, is Boston at Chicago. Boston is a 1.5-point favorite. Boston is playing the second game on a back-to-back. They beat Brooklyn today, so they played a D-League game on Wednesday night, and then they're traveling to Chicago for Thursday. But like, I'm not too worried about fatigue for Boston this game, because if you look at their minutes, I mean, no one played more than 34 minutes. That was Avery Bradley. The rest of their guys played like in the 20s. Al Horford only played 27 minutes. So I think they'll be fairly rested. It should be a close game. The fact that Vegas thinks the over-under is going to be 210.5, I mean, maybe Vegas believes in Rondo more than I do. Hell, so that's an interesting game. I'm definitely going to have some players from that game. I mean, you have any thoughts about that Boston at Chicago game, Tyler?
Take Chicago in that game, so I'm thinking Vegas is wrong. Second of a back-to-back for Boston, they're traveling to Chicago in that game.
I mean, first of all, Vegas hates the Bulls. I mean, if you look at like the over-under for Chicago for the year, it was like at 40 or 41. So Vegas doesn't even expect the Bulls to make the playoffs, and Vegas loves Boston. I think Boston was projected to their over-under, in number of wins for the season was like 53 or something like that. So Vegas is pretty high on Boston. I think Boston has like the second best odds to make the NBA Finals in the East behind Cleveland. So Vegas is a big fan of Boston, and probably rightfully so. They got everyone returning. They got Al Horford and everyone loves Brad Stevens. So,
and they're just a really deep team. I mean, they can withstand some injuries that some other teams can't.
Yep. So that's one game. I mean, all these games are really, really nice over-unders. Clippers at Portland, I think, is going to be the game of the night. Clippers are a 2-point favorite at Portland, 209 over-under. That's a really nice game. You got the point guard matchup, one of the best that we can see in the NBA, Dame Lillard versus CP3. Lillard went berserk yesterday for Portland. He was fantastic in Portland season opener. So that should be a really good game. Washington-Atlanta, another good game. Atlanta's a 3.5-point favorite, 204.5 over-under there. The last game of the night is San Antonio at Sacramento. I think this is going to be a blowout. San Antonio is only a 9-point favorite, but I find it hard to believe Sacramento is going to stay in that game. San Antonio looked phenomenal opening night, destroying Golden State by 29 points. So, you know.
Well, and you got Sacramento on the second of a back-to-back. I mean, they're playing tonight. I mean, like, it does not looking good for Sacramento.
Right. The only thing – so remember, though, it's a four-game slate. So you really can't look at – even though that San Antonio-Sacramento game has the potential to be a blowout, you really can't avoid to say I'm not going to play anyone from that game. I still think there's some guys you're going to want to target, as we'll discuss in a couple seconds. And one of those main guys – you know, I guess this leads right into the point guards, Tyler. One of the main guys you want to target in for Sacramento, probably my top play at point guard, especially in terms of value. Put him in your cash game lineups. That's Ty Lawson. Now, Sacramento is still playing right now, but so far, Ty Lawson looks great on Wednesday night. He's going to get all the minutes he can get. Even though San Antonio is a good defensive team, Tony Parker is not, and even Patty Mills is not that great defensively. So I love Ty Lawson at 5.1K. Are you with me?
Here's the thing. The only other point guard they have on their roster with Darren Collison suspended, the only other guy who can play point guard is Garrett Temple. I can't really see him giving Garrett Temple more than like 15 minutes. So Lawson's going to get a huge number of minutes. And I mean, like you're saying, with his speed, I'm not really afraid of Tony Parker or Patty Mills. I think he's blowing right past either one of them. So I'm loving that play too.
Yeah, I mean, put him in your cash games. He's going to be super high owned tomorrow. So if you want to fade him to go a little contrarian in GPPs, I'm fine with that. But you got to put him in your cash games. Just don't overthink that one. The other guy who I like a lot, I'm probably going to have him in my cash games too, is that's Dennis Schroeder. He's only 6.5K versus Washington. I think in about a week or two, I think Schroeder's price is going to jump to about 7.5K. I think it may peak around 8K somewhere in the season. So as long as that price is still depressed at 6.5K, I think he makes a nice play. I mean, John Wall is a pretty good defender, but you know that game should be a pretty up and down game. It should stay close. I like Schroeder. Just got a big new contract. I think today he just signed a new contract. So he's a guy that I definitely like for cash games. I think he's a safe play, and I'll probably play him a little bit in tournaments too.
I'm really loving Schroeder tomorrow. If I'm picking two point guards on FanDuel, my two guys are Schroeder and Lawson in most of my contests. I just think that Schroeder's going to have a good game, and I think, like you said, the price is just too low.
Yeah, and again, if you're spending 5.1K on Lawson, 6.5K on Schroeder, it's going to allow you to spend up at other positions, which we'll get to in a couple minutes. And I think one of those positions you want to spend up is power forward. So you know, if you spend low, which on point guard, which you can, I think tomorrow it allows you to get some of the big boys, later on in for your lineup. So, but with that said, you still do have some nice options at point guard if you do want to spend up, and there, you have Lillard and Chris Paul. Tyler, between those two, I mean, Lillard's 9.1K, Chris Paul CP3 9.5, so they're basically the same price. Between those two, which one do you like?
But I'm assuming you asked me which one I liked between Lillard and Chris Paul. For me, I'm actually going to go with Lillard. I'm 4K or 0.4K less, obviously. And, I mean, just coming off that huge game, I think that freaking he's going to have to carry the mail for Portland to keep him in there against the high-powered Clippers. So I'm going with Lillard. How about you?
I'm torn on this one. I mean, right now – as we're taping this, I would probably lean CP3. I think, CP3 is a bully. I mean, he's a really solid defender. I mean, I think last year his numbers fell off in terms of where he ranked in terms of guarding opposing point guards. But I think like the previous years, he's always been a really tough guy to play against. So I think Lillard could have his hands full tomorrow. I do not think he's going to, yesterday he dominated. I don't think that's going to be the case for Thursday night against the Clippers. I kind of like McCollum more than I like Lillard for tomorrow. I keep saying for tomorrow, even though we're taping this. So when you guys are listening to this, you guys might be listening to it on Thursday, so I probably shouldn't say that. But so for Thursday's games, I think I like McCollum better than I like Lillard. So I think I would lean CP3, but they're still both good plays. I mean, you can't go wrong either one. Now, Tyler, if you do want to save at point guard tomorrow, you still might have an option. Who will that option be?
Well, I'm going to say that it's Terry Rozier. He's only 3.5. But caveat with this. Marcus Smart is questionable right now. He obviously didn't play today, but they said he could play tomorrow. So I really kind of only want Rozier. If Smart does play, he's 5.2K. So, I don't really think I want him in my lineups. Rozier got 28 minutes tonight, and I feel like second game we push that up a little bit more. So I feel like he's a real good play if Smart sits out.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you looked at Rozier on Wednesday night, he played about 27 minutes. So if he's going to play 27 minutes, around there on Thursday, Rondo's not a very good defender. I think he's got a nice matchup. At 3.5K, it allows me to do a lot of, spend up at power forward and center, maybe even get some two top-notch small forwards. So I'm definitely going to play some of him in tournaments. And I might play him in cash games as well. Right now I'm leaning to play Lawson and Schroeder for my cash games. But Rozier, man, at 3.5K, it just opens up your lineup so much. So, the key there, like you said, is Marcus Smart going to play? If Marcus Smart plays, I do not want Rozier at all. But if there's no Marcus Smart, you got to think long and hard about Rozier, especially on a four-game slate.
Totally.
All right, let's move on to shooting guard, man. Shooting guard is disgusting. Made me want to throw up. Not a lot of good options here. I mean, if I had to rank the top shooting guard, I guess reluctantly I'm going to go with McCollum at 6.9K versus the Clippers. McCollum, he didn't look that great in the opening night, but I expect him to play a little bit better on Thursday. So, I guess I would favor him slightly over my boy D-Wade, but I still think Wade's a nice play too. I think Wade is, if you want to use Wade in cash games, I have no issues with that. So I think, Wade's 7K. I think he's got a very nice, safe floor. I'd be shocked if Wade doesn't give you like 28 to 32 FanDuel points tomorrow. I love playing Wade when he's rested. Clearly, it's the first game of the season. He's rested. He should be fine. His knees should be rearing to go. Not the best matchup in the world against Boston, especially if they put Avery Bradley on him. But still, I think Wade's still a safe play at 7K. What are your thoughts, Tyler?
I'm leaning towards McCollum if I'm choosing between the two. But, Wade's as safe as they get. When he's out there, he pretty much produces, so... And like you said, he's rested. He should get the big minutes. It'll be interesting to see how him, Rondo, and Butler kind of all play together. They didn't get a chance to play together that much during the preseason. So I'm definitely got my eye on that game, but I think Wade can probably give you value.
And by the way, I just realized at point guard, we didn't mention Rondo. And I'm not going to lie to the audience. Tyler put together that point guard list. Tyler, defend yourself. Why wasn't Rondo on that list?
Because Rondo just... do you think Rondo's really going to give a great value tomorrow?
He could. What's his price? Hold on.
7.5K.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to play some Rondo tomorrow, 7.5K. I think, this is the one – this is one of the things we're still not sure how Chicago's going to mess with, Wade, Rondo, and Butler. But we all know Rondo loves to have the ball in his hands. And he's very – and especially if it really is a 210 over-under – he could easily get have 15 assists and 10 points. So at 7.5K, there were times last year when Rondo was like, I think 8.5K, almost 9K at some points. Now, I don't think he's going to put up the numbers he put up in Sacramento, but I don't think he's a cash game play, but I will definitely play some Rondo in tournaments tomorrow.
In my defense, Basketball Monster has him the sixth best point guard for tomorrow, just in terms of pure value that doesn't put the prices in there.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair. I think we should just mention him though. And if you're playing, if you're someone like me who plays like 20 lineups, I'm definitely going to have some, maybe four or five lineups with Rondo tomorrow. So, all right, going back to shooting guard though, we just talked about Wade and McCollum. Ugh, after that, man, it gets messy. You're going to have to. One guy who used to be a cash game safety net for me, who was always underowned and who was always such a nice safe play, was JJ Redick. I played him a lot last year and 2 years ago. His price is 4.6K. I think that's way too low for JJ Redick. I think eventually he's going to be about 5.5K and settle in that range. He's a pretty solid NBA player. So like I'm totally fine playing him tomorrow. You know what? And I might even play him in cash games, quite honestly, at 4.6K. That's too cheap.
And I'll agree. I mean, especially filling out your second shooting guard. I mean, I don't think you want to spend on both Rondo and or Rondo both Wade and McCollum. So, I mean, he's kind of a nice little play. He should give you about 15 points. He doesn't give you much in the other stats, obviously, but DraftKings, he's probably even a little bit better play. Get the 3-point bonus. So.
Yeah, and let's be honest, CJ McCollum, for as talented as he is offensively, he's not a very good defender. So I think Redick could have a nice game.
Honestly, Portland might have the worst in the league. Like Lillard and McCollum are both not good defenders.
No, they're both atrocious. No, I totally agree with you. Yeah, so I mean you could have a lot of lineups where you're basically playing McCollum and Redick, and then that way you can have a fun time watching that Portland Clippers game. And actually,
I
sometimes I
agree with
like doing
that.
that. I'll build a lineup, and I'll stack a game, especially on a 4-game slate. So I'll basically play just tons of guys from the Clippers and Portland. So I'll play a lineup with Dame, CP3, McCollum, Redick. How fun is that? Basically every time someone scores in the backcourt, I get FanDuel points. It's awesome. So if you play.
And all that, so I mean, just enjoy yourself watching the game.
Yeah, so if you play a lot of lineups like me, definitely feel free to throw a lineup like that together. And then if you have a lineup like that, you're just hoping that game stays close. Maybe it goes to overtime. Maybe something happens and you can win a lot of money. So definitely don't be shy in doing that. The fourth ranked shooting guard we have, this is a guy that I always get wrong. Avery Bradley. He's 5.6K. I guess that's about the right price for him at Chicago tomorrow or on Thursday. So I don't know. I just can never get too excited about Avery Bradley. Great defender, but I mean, trying to figure out which nights he's going to go off for that Celtics team is very hard. So he's probably not a cash game play for me, a little too risky. But if you want to throw him in a tournament or two on a 4-game slate, I'm fine with that.
I totally agree with that. Plus, I mean, he got the most minutes for Boston tonight, which, I mean, one game sample. Don't know if that's going to hold up, obviously, but he should get some good minutes over 30, and minutes equals opportunity.
Yeah, but he's definitely going to be working hard tomorrow. I could see him guarding Wade and Butler and Rondo for that matter tomorrow. So he's going to be busy on the defensive end. So I'm not sure how much that's going to impact his offensive game. So I'm probably not going to play a ton of Avery Bradley, but I will play him a little bit in tournaments. Small forward. This is interesting. So Jimmy Butler and Kawhi, they're both 8.2K. Kawhi Leonard probably played the. He might have played the best game I've ever seen him play in San Antonio's season opener against Golden State. He had a career high, and he just almost single-handedly beat Golden State. I mean, it was really fun to watch. He's going to be a monster this year. Now, I guess you have to worry a little bit about the blowout factor tomorrow at Sacramento, but I still think Kawhi, eventually Kawhi's price is going to be at least 9K. So he's still underpriced. I like him for cash games. I like him, and I like him for tournaments too. I will definitely own a lot of Kawhi tomorrow. Now the problem is, once someone has a really good game, especially on a short on a small slate, he's gonna be super high owned tomorrow. So if you want to be contrarian and you want to fade Kawhi, I'm fine with that as well on a 4-game slate. But for cash games, you probably do want to play him. He's just too good right now.
I'll second that. I mean, if I'm choosing between Butler and Kawhi, I'm picking Kawhi. I mean, I just think he's gonna destroy the Kings on the second of that back to back, and he's gonna produce you quite a few points, even if the game gets to be a blowout.
Yeah, speaking of Butler, though, I still think Butler is a safe play. Now, I'm a little worried about 8.2K. That price to me, especially if Rondo and Wade have the ball in their hands as much as we think they're going to, 8.2K might be a little bit too expensive. I'd like to see his price around 7.5K right now, but still, it's okay. I mean, I will definitely have some exposure in tournaments. I'm not sure right now if I'm going to use him in cash games or not, but he's still obviously a nice play.
I mean, I feel the same way. I saw the 8.2K and I thought that was a little bit overpriced.
Yeah, I
And
mean
so,
that's basically what he was priced last year, and when they didn't have two other guys who demanded the ball every time down court.
exactly. So, I mean, do you really think he's going to hit that value? Like, I'm waiting until he drops a little bit.
Yeah, I mean it would be, it's hard to envision him getting 45 plus FanDuel points, but I mean, he does have the talent. So, I mean, you never know. So, all right, after those two, there's a big drop off. Rudy Gay, I mean, dear God, no one knows what to do with Rudy Gay. I don't think Rudy Gay himself knows what to do with himself in Sacramento. The price is reasonable, 6.9K. I mean, he does have the talent to hit value and exceed value. So, I'll probably play him in some tournaments. But who's he up against tomorrow? Kawhi Leonard, the best defender in the NBA. So that worries me. So I'll play him in a couple tournaments and not much else.
I totally agree with that. I mean, he's not someone I'm loving, but still, I mean, for a tournament, if you're looking for someone who might be able to have a nice 20-point game, I mean, 20
next up,
real
we
points,
got,
not FanDuel.
I'm with you. Next up, we got the Bays, Kent Bazemore. He destroyed so many lineups last year in the first half of the season. And then in the second half of the season, he really came on and played some good basketball. And this year, he's expected to even have a bigger role. So, you know, 5.1K versus Washington. Washington was horrendous last year guarding opposing small forwards. So I really – actually, I'm kind of surprised I'm saying this, but I really like Kent Bazemore. I mean – I'm not sure he's going to be a cash game play for me. He might be, though, and he's definitely going to be in some of my tournaments tomorrow.
I actually thought that, like, as far as, like, the value goes, he might be the best value play on the board.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's as sad as that sounds, I mean, I agree.
I think that might be a reflection more on the position than his greatness, though.
Yeah, no. And it's a four-game slate, yes. So, the other two guys that we have listed here are both from San Antonio, Kyle Anderson, Jonathan Simmons. If any of you guys watched the Golden State game, you saw Simmons explode for 20 actual points. He looked fantastic. So, what does that mean? That means almost everyone who plays DFS tomorrow is probably going to play Simmons, and Anderson will probably go off. So, that's simply how things work. So, if you want to be a little bit more contrarian, I would play Anderson, because Anderson still got – they've got to say about the same amount of minutes, right, Tyler?
Yeah, and that was my point in putting Anderson on the sheet was, I mean, these two guys got the same amount of minutes. Yes, Simmons had the big game, but it's easily be Kyle Anderson the next game. So, and I, like you said, I think everyone's going to be diving on Simmons going, oh, it's definitely him. And I think I might personally go Kyle Anderson just to be a little bit different.
Yep. No, I'm totally with you there. I'll probably play a little – I'll have some exposure to both. I'm not playing either, I don't think, in cash games. But, you know, wouldn't surprise me one bit if Kyle Anderson has a better game than Simmons on Thursday. So, all right, that's small forward. Let's move on to power forward. Another position that is not that great. There's two guys at the top, though, who are tremendous. Like I recommend for your cash games, find a way to get Blake Griffin and Paul Millsap in your cash games. Like, do what you have to do to get these guys in and then move on. I think power forward after Blake and Millsap, it's just too ugly. Blake's 8.6K at Portland, just a beautiful matchup. He may be my favorite play tomorrow on Thursday. Like I just can't envision Aminu guarding him down low. I'm not sure who Portland's going to use to match up on him. I guess they'd start out with Aminu, but Blake should have his way and have a really, really nice solid game.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they're going to bring maybe Vonleh, maybe Ed Davis off the bench. I mean, maybe they move Mason Plumlee down and try to make him guard Blake Griffin. Like, I honestly think Blake Griffin feasts. And compared to some of the other big names, he's saving you a little tiny bit of money at only 8.6K. So I love that play tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then Paul Millsap, dude, he's just Mr. Consistency. He does everything. He doesn't need to score, like, actual points to give you a lot of FanDuel points. Really nice matchup versus Washington. 8K. I think that's about – he's priced reasonably. So I'm fine with that. I love playing Millsap in cash games. He's one of my favorite players for cash games. So lock him in. For tournaments, it's going to be interesting. I'm probably going to – you're going to have to fade somebody because both those guys are going to be super high owned. So – I don't mind fading him in tournaments, but if you know, for cash games, I think Millsap is an excellent play.
Yeah, like you said, just consistent.
The next guy, the next two guys, or the next guy in particular, this is a GPP only play. Markieff Morris, 5.6K at Atlanta. I kept waiting for Markieff to mesh with the Wizards last year. It just never happened. Like, he got traded from Phoenix, and he just never played well with Washington. I don't know what it was. I kept waiting for it. Like, his salary kept dropping and dropping and dropping last year. I still kept playing him, and it just never took off. So when I saw he was priced at 5.6K, I thought he would start out, just considering how poor he played last year, I thought his price would be a little bit lower than that. But on a four-game slate, you can't be too picky. 5.6K, he does have upside. I mean, if he's hitting a shot, he's going to get minutes. So I think he's a GPP play only tomorrow, Markieff Morris.
Definitely agree with that. I mean, a high variance player, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, you know, if he's hitting, that could be the one. I mean, he's a Nikola Mirotic type, who I think that's someone you want to talk about next. So,
well, yeah, wow. I did. Mirotic magically disappeared from our sheet. Where's Mirotic?
Yep.
What's up?
Five. Okay.
I know, but he was on our magical sheet here. Now he's not. As we're doing the podcast, guys, Tyler is like is taking names off the sheet, putting them on. I wish you guys could see behind the scenes. It's very disturbing what's going on here. But you know, you're absolutely right. Mirotic is a guy at 5K who I'm going to have some exposure to tomorrow in GPPs only. I think everyone knows, especially if you listen to the podcast, he looked horrible for the most part in the preseason. Couldn't shoot at all. But the Bulls need shooting. If he gets hot, he's a point per minute guy, and he could lead you to take down a big GPP. So I'm definitely gonna have some Mirotic exposure in tournaments only.
Pretty low owned too. I mean, Gibson, they've already announced that Gibson's gonna start, right? And so, know how many people are gonna be flocking to Mirotic.
The problem with Mirotic has like a Porzingis type sensation following. So he's always higher owned than he should be, which is always annoying. Like Porzingis and Mirotic are both their ownership's always high. It's always annoying. Even though Mirotic
thing,
I'm not sure, but I mean, so even if Mirotic is not starting tomorrow, I still would expect his ownership to be, you know, still reasonably high owned, especially on only a 4-game slate, and the price is
everyone's
nice.
Gonna be someone.
Yeah. So the other guy who I think is a nice play, and that's Aminu. Now, I don't like the matchup. I think I'm worried about foul trouble against Blake Griffin, but he's only 4.6K. So I think I'm not sure how high of a ceiling he has, but I think he has a safe floor. Now, he did not play that well in Portland's opening night. I played him in a lot of lineups, and he made me want to smash the TV, but I'm not going to let that deter me from tomorrow night. And again, 4.6K, that's just too cheap. So for tournaments, I'm definitely going to be playing him in some lineups.
Well, and as far as the cheap options go, I mean, I think he's the best value for money. I mean, I don't see anyone cheap that's going to return the value other than him.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is if you're playing Aminu, just and before you click on his picture on FanDuel, just get ready because it looks like a mugshot. It's very scary. He has the worst picture that I've seen on FanDuel. If you guys can find like a player with a worse picture than Aminu, let me know. Because so far he's the leader in the clubhouse. It literally looks like a mugshot. It's horrendous. If I was him, I'd be very upset.
I can see it now. It is kind of scary.
Right? Yeah, it is. Right? Yeah. All right, Tyler. Let's move on to center. We'll give you four options here. DeMarcus Cousins, very interesting against San Antonio. 9.8K, so he's expensive. Sacramento's coming on a back-to-back. San Antonio, pretty good defensive team. I guess he'd be matched up against Pau Gasol. Not a good defender. So
looked bad.
And Pau did look bad. Granted, it was against Golden State on opening night. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about DeMarcus? Are you gonna, would you play him in cash games, tournaments? I mean, obviously you should play him in tournaments. But you think he's a cash game play tomorrow, or would you stay away?
Just looking at the center slate, I'm probably going to play him in some cash games too, just because I don't love a lot of the other options. But, I mean, it's definitely risky, especially if Sacramento gets blown out. They could just sit him on the bench for a while.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm leaning towards not playing him in cash games, although I may change my mind by the time lineup locks. I just think one, blowout potential worries me. Two, DeMarcus Cousins is crazy, and I think Santonio is going to get in his head, and Popovich is going to get in his head. And three, they are playing on a back-to-back. So I do like the fact that he's going up against Pau Gasol. But other than that, at 10K, I think I'm just probably going to do other things in terms of my cash games. But but the upside's obviously there, and you definitely, if you're playing a lot of lineups, you definitely should play him into tournaments. After that, center's interesting tomorrow. You got DeAndre Jordan at 8K at Portland. Again, if you're playing DeAndre Jordan, he's not going to give you much many offensive stats, but he's going to get you a lot of rebounds, hopefully some blocks. But 8K, I'm not sure. That doesn't make me too excited. I mean, the one thing about DeAndre Jordan, typically he's a pretty safe play. Like, he's going to get rebounds, he's going to get some blocks, but I'm just not sure how high the upside is tomorrow. So right now I'm not going to play a ton of DeAndre Jordan.
I'll agree with that. Similar, there's a lot of similar priced players at other positions that I
Right.
like better than him.
Right, that's the key. I mean, there's guys who are priced less that I like more tomorrow. Dwight Howard, 7.5K, his first game for Atlanta. I think Dwight starts the season off really well. Now, I'm not sure how it's going to end. I'm not sure if his back's going to hold up. Ultimately, I'm not sure what to expect, but I do think he's going to start the season pretty well. So Dwight's an interesting play, 7.5K. I like him for tournaments tomorrow. I'm very excited to see what he does for Atlanta. And to see how he meshes with Millsap as well.
I'll second that. I'm definitely not going for him in cash games just because I think that, we don't really know what's going to happen in this situation yet. So there's that risk there. And if he's not getting the ball, he has a tendency to upset and not play as well. So, that's always the potential for that in a new team and a new system. So I'm actually kind of avoiding him in the cash games. But in tournaments, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm not playing him in cash games either. I mean, it's like I am very intrigued though to see how he meshes with also not only Millsap, but obviously I think the more important one is Schroeder. I mean, Schroeder is he's more of a score first point guard. So, how much is he going to get Dwight the ball? I don't know.
I think that that's going to be a real interesting game to watch there tomorrow. It's the first game of the night, so at least a little bit if you're watching a lot of basketball.
Yep, the next guy, Pau Gasol, I think as Tyler mentioned, he looked dreadful against Golden State. He looked about 95 years old. Just it was not a good fit for that game. With that said, his price has come down now to 7.1K. I played Pau a ton last year, and he was always a nice safe play. He was even good in GPPs. So at 7.1K on a 4-game slate, I think everyone's going to be scared off by the fact that he looks so bad opening night. I would expect a nice bounce back game from Pau, and I definitely want some exposure in tournaments. I think that ownership's going to be low. I think it's a nice way in GPPs to differentiate yourself, and that means I'm going to be playing some Pau Gasol tomorrow. I'm not, it's risky, but I definitely want a little Pau exposure.
Well, and he's just such a skilled player that, you can see him creating value for you in a lot of ways, rebounds, assists, blocks, just so many different things with even without scoring a ton of points if he doesn't have to score a ton of points.
Yep. Now, as of now, my cash game center is another very consistent guy, Al Horford. I think Horford played only 27 minutes tonight and still put up like 32 FanDuel points. I think he like he and Andy, I think he only had like 11 actual points, but had a bunch of assists, rebounds, and either steals or blocks. So Horford, even though it's a back-to-back, I think he's a great play. He's very safe. So if you want to play him in cash games, I think that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm not sure how high the ceiling is. So I don't know if I want to play him in GPPs, although I probably will a little bit just because the slate's so small. But I think he's a tremendous cash game play.
I'll second that. And the guy he's going against in that game, I think is kind of a decent little play. So why don't you tell us about that guy?
Yeah, man. Robin Lopez. Now, Lopez is 5.7K. I was a little upset when I saw the price. I was hoping he'd be closer to 5K. So that worries me a little, but I still think Robin Lopez, I think he's going to surprise people this year. He's a pretty skilled offensive player. Now how much, I mean, the other issue you have to worry about though with Robin Lopez, how many minutes is he going to get? Especially if that game really is a 210.5 over under, and that's the highest over under on Thursday night slate. You know, is Hoiberg going to give Lopez 30 plus minutes? I'm not sure. If he does, I think Lopez is going to hit value or get close to hitting value, but I still think he's definitely worth a look. I mean, the problem with him is like, what's the ceiling? Like, if, let's say tomorrow Robin Lopez has a great game, what would his stats be? Do you think?
12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks.
Right. So that's about 33, 34 FanDuel points. So that would be a little bit above value. And another guy, Tyler, who I think we must discuss is Mason Plumlee. Is the Plum Dog.
Plum Dog Millionaire?
Who only played 15 minutes against Utah. Now, granted, that was against Rudy Gobert, tough matchup. But only played 15 minutes, only had 4.7 FanDuel points. He's 5.1K for Thursday's slate. Is he someone that you would consider if you're looking to save at center?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially for a tournament, I would definitely consider Plumlee. I think that the good thing about him is he can get a lot of assists. And obviously that's a big help to his value. Even if he doesn't score that many points, he's going to rebound the ball. He's going to get assists. So I'm definitely not playing him in my cash games too much, but I think in a tournament you could do worse than Mason Plumlee. How about you?
I mean, only because it's a 4-game slate, I'm going to play him a little bit. I think he's going to be super low owned given the debacle against Utah. I mean, it does concern me that like I kept waiting all of last year for Stotts to give him big minutes, and it like, and the opposite happened all year long. His minutes kept going down.
Well, and there's so many guys to play there. I mean, you got right. Myers Leonard, you got Ed Davis, you got Festus Ezeli. I mean, list goes on.
Yeah, so it's I mean, for him, it's all about minutes, and he sucks defensively. So I guess I understand why Stotts doesn't want to play him a lot.
Totally agree there.
So, you know, it's hard to get excited for Mason Plumlee. So if I play 20 lineups tomorrow, I'll probably have Mason Plumlee in one, maybe two.
I hear that, but I mean, look at the rest of the cheap options at center. I mean,
oh, there's none. The only other two guys you could consider are Tyler Zeller at 3.8K, who's not going to get 20 minutes, and Kosta Kufis, who's 3.6K. I mean, if you play Kufis, maybe you're hoping for a little blowout scenario. Cauley Stein gets in foul trouble or something like that.
Pretty much no matter what, I think Kufis gets around 20 minutes. So you got to hope that the ball's bouncing off the rim and he's getting some putbacks and he's rebounding the ball and that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't have a great deal of confidence in it, but for a flyer in a tournament to save some money to get someone who's a lot more expensive, you could probably do worse.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you want to play a lottery ticket with one of those cheap guys, go ahead. But I'm probably going to stay away and not get too risky. Center's going to be the one position tomorrow. I probably and pretty non-risk, I was going to say
risk averse.
There you go, risk averse. I'm going to be risk averse at center tomorrow, and I'm going to get crazy at some of the other spots. So, and with league pass alert, Tyler. It is a 69-63, Houston's beating the Lakers. And
are you surprised? I told you yesterday, no defense derby, man.
Yeah, so it's still in the second quarter. I guess the second quarter is just about to end. So it looks like the over-under is going to be what? So how many points is that? I'm bad at math. Can you do the math?
Harden's going to shoot 2 free throws here to make it 3. So, I mean, you're talking
Yeah, so I think the over-under would probably, instead of – I think it was, what, 223? It probably should have been, like, 260. That's just horrendous. Wow. Just amazing. So hopefully you guys played a ton of guys from that game. And with that said, I'm trying to think. I guess that's it, man. So a four-game slate. Now, remember, I think what I told you guys a couple days ago, on 3- and 4-game slates, I don't play as much. I usually play a little less just because, it's hard to differentiate your lineups. I mean, everyone's going to basically be on the same players. Also, on small slates like this, I typically only play large GPPs. I really don't play much cash games, again, for the very same reason. Everyone's going to have the same lineup if you play cash games. So I play some GPPs. I like to get a little bit crazy in terms of my lineups, but I'm not going to play a ton of money for tomorrow's slate.
I totally agree with that. I mean, like you said, it's just so hard to find like diamond in the rough that not everyone else is going to be on.
Yeah. But again, on a four-game slate, you do want to look for ways to be contrarian. So keep that in mind. Try to find ways to be contrarian. Easier said than done in a four-game slate, but it's possible. You can do it. I have faith. All right, man. With that said, Watsy 4444. Anything else you got? You want to get off your chest?
No, man. Just happy to have me on and happy to watch some basketball tomorrow. Enjoy the DFS and the real life basketball.
Yeah, and as always, if you guys have any questions or you guys want us to do something else on the podcast, you think we're not, like the style that we're doing. Right now, I think we're going position by position. Maybe you want us to talk about each game instead. Let us know. Feedback is always a good thing, even if it's negative feedback. So be happy to hear from you. Hopefully, this podcast is helping you guys make some money or at least enlightening your basketball views in some way.
And if you got something long that's a little too long for Twitter, you can email us dfbpod@gmail.com.
There you go. With that said, have a good one, guys. Enjoy Thursday slate. Make some money, and we will be back to discuss Friday's monster slate tomorrow. All right, guys, later.